Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Welcome back to Deaf Conversations. We'll start off the weekly shout out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Now, this episode tonight is running rife with technical problems, so it could be a very interesting show. But we'll go plug along here. But anyway, welcome back to Deaf Conversations, broadcasting from the Deaf Con Sources compound, located deep under a well-known Superfund site in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. I got another cool show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of peppers. Just a reminder, if you have a company or know someone who has a company within the hot sauce, barbecue, and chili world, feel free to contact me at john@defconsauces.com. And hey, maybe we'll get you on the show. After all, the golden rule of small business is if they don't know you exist, they won't be buying from you. And now, as I've mentioned the last couple of shows, we have an upcoming DEF CON Day this Saturday, December 6th, from 12 to 5 p.m. It'll be one of our favorite places to do one of these events. These are a lot of fun. It's at Bunny's Sports Bar, located at 14 West South Orange Avenue in South Orange, New Jersey. We pretty much freaking packed the house all afternoon with this venue. So if you're in the area and feel like devouring free DEF CON wings all afternoon and meeting pretty much friends you didn't know you had, come on down. I would suggest getting there a little early. The bar stools and tables fill up quick at this event. Of course, as usual, all of our products will be available for sale at the event as well. As a side note, I might even have some of the new Zero Batch number 6 to sample. Be careful what you wish for. Anyway, this just in. Now, this is going to be a little scary for everybody out there, but myself and the one and only Hoboken Eddie will both be in attendance at Wing Bowl number 8 on Saturday, January 24th from 4:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Ramada Convention Center in Fishkill, New York. Trust me, if the two of us are under one roof, I'm pretty sure the Earth is going to fall off of its axis. Hey, it'll be more exciting than global warming. More to come about this earth-shattering event in the weeks to come. Now, as I said on last week's show, I have to give another quick update regarding our upcoming release of our first Zero Batch collectible in over 6 years. Everything is in the works, including the final harvesting of the newest incarnation of the absolute hottest product we've ever made by far. I've had a couple of friends try it, and let's just say it was very entertaining to watch the effects. The release date is coming up, and everyone on the mailing list will be informed before the actual release. We still have some fine-tuning to do to make this thing absolutely perfect. We're only making 66 of these evil little beasties, and depending on the final harvesting amount of the Zero, we should have a handful of regular non-collectible vessels of the nasty stuff as well. If you're not on the mailing list, I would suggest getting on it now. Once again, john@defconsauces.com. I also have to repeat a quick and quite important note regarding the upcoming release. Due to unforeseen international border issues and the nature of components of the Zero Batch number 6, a large number of other countries do not allow this sort of item to be shipped across their borders, mainly countries in the European Union. Therefore, we will not be able to directly ship any of the Zero Batch number 6s to any international addresses. Trust me, I know this sucks. I honestly wasn't aware of these legal restrictions until very recently when our lawyer contacted us to inform me about the legal restrictions. Considering the main components have already been engraved and detailed, there's really no turning back now on the design. Leave it to DEF CON Sauces to almost spark an international incident. That being said, I've chosen to avoid getting a personal visit from Interpol, so we have to restrict the shipping to United States addresses only. Who would have ever thought that selling a hot sauce collectible might incur extradition? I apologize for this. I really do. But when it comes to international restrictions, I abide by them. It keeps the blacked-out Chevy Suburbans out of my driveway. Anyway, enough of that. Sorry, folks, but that's the way it is. Now, the quick topic tonight is kind of cool. About 10 or so years ago, when it came to spicy, readily available snacks, there really wasn't much to choose from in your big conglomo supermarkets. I mean, if you were lucky, maybe you'd find like Slim Jims infused with Tabasco. That was really about it. I mean, if you wanted a spicy snack, pretty much the only way you'd have it is make it yourself. I mean, for years I would make a spicy Chex Mix for parties, you know, with a touch of cayenne and some homemade habanero-infused molasses. At this time, habaneros were almost unfindable as well, and now they're available on just about every supermarket out there. Well, in the last 4 or 5 years, the spicy snack snack market has exploded. This is a good thing. You can find all sorts of spicy snacks now. The actual awesome ones are still made by the smaller manufacturers, of course, and the smaller manufacturers have not sold their souls to Monsanto when it comes to the ingredients they choose. For the true chili head, the mainstream supermarket snacks aren't crazy hot, but hey, at least for the huge manufacturers like Frito-Lay and those guys, they are realizing what us small manufacturers in the hot and spicy industry have known for years, and that is that people like spicy foods, and their want for these types of snacks is growing very fast. Consider the fact that for over 125 years, there's only one form of Tabasco. In just a few years, they now have about a dozen different varieties. Again, why? Because they're learning what we, the Chili Head Nation, already know and have known for some time now, that the American palates are changing to more and more spicy foods. Now, when it comes to the smaller manufacturers, the sky is the absolute limit when it comes to spicy snacks. I've seen much of the spectrum, and I must say I'm amazed at the creativity of many of these products, from spicy chocolates to spicy cream cheese and even spicy ice cream and cotton candy. The imagination of the small manufacturers is awesome, and it's obvious some of the conglomerate companies out there are starting to take notice. I mean, in the small manufacturer marketplace, so there's always a few forms of snacks coming and going, and I'm always looking forward to see what the next bizarre or crazy product that will be that hits the market. This talk about spicy snacks brings us to our guest this evening. I've known our guest for quite a few years. We've done a bunch of shows together, and the guy is a riot to hang out with, as is his awesome wife. His name is Dean Duckworth from Dino's Jalapenos. The guy is busier than a one-armed paper hanger, and outside of making some awesome snacks, he is never bored. We're going to get into kind of what many facets about him and his company as much as we can in our allotted time. So let's get this show rolling. Dean, you out there, buddy?
I am. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. Welcome to the show, man. And
Thank you.
Thanks for fitting us into your crazy schedule. I mean, you're never sitting down. And
not much.
I'll tell you what, we do have a lot to cover, so let's jump right in here. The first question I ask everybody is, what sparked your love for like the hot and spicy kind of stuff? I mean, something had to start it out.
Well, I kind of a self-proclaimed ski bum, and earlier in my life, I went out to Colorado, and we went out to Breckenridge and skied out there for a winter, and while I was out there, we got a job at a restaurant, and I just started doing Mexican food. And back then, that was in 83, there wasn't really a whole bunch of hot peppers like there are now, or at least they weren't really, you know, as publicized anyways. So there was a handful. So I started getting into the hot stuff here and there. And then, you know, move ahead to 1994, and we moved to Stowe, Vermont on a coin toss, and we got into another restaurant, and this one was Southwestern Mexican. So I always liked the hot and spicy, but this kind of drove me into it a little more. So
that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Now, you guys are based out of Stowe, Vermont now then?
Well, I have a restaurant in Stowe. No, I moved. What happened was we were making the chips in Stowe at the restaurant. I'd start at 11 o'clock at night and then make them till like 11, 12 o'clock the next day.
Nice.
Or we only do dinners at the restaurant. So, and then we'd have to clean up and switch it over to restaurant mode again. So we got to the point where the restaurant was just so full. So product here and there. Like sometimes they'd be in the dining rooms in the bar, stacks of boxes and stuff. So we kind of got kicked out of there after a while. So we're now in Hardwick, which is about 25 miles away.
Okay, so it's still pretty close. I mean, it's still Vermont, kind of Vermont country. I love it up there.
Yeah.
I love it up that way of your side of the world. But now your mainstay product kind of had a cool start. I mean, I was checking out the website a little bit, and it was like you said that when all the cooks were eating different brands of jalapeno potato chips, the whole no potato idea was born. It was kind of how'd that all come about? I thought that was kind of a cool story.
Well, yeah, I walked in one day, and all the line cooks were having some subs for lunch, and along next to their subs were potato chip bags. And there were three guys in there, and they all had jalapeno potato chips. And there was three different brand bags. And I looked at it, and I thought, wow, you know, we're a Mexican restaurant. Maybe we ought to see if we can make a jalapeno chip. And they all looked at me. Their eyes rolled. And they were like, oh, God, here it comes. So I went in, I don't know, probably later on that week at some point and started the process. And cool. You know, I just said, hey, I mean, why? You know, if everybody wants a jalapeno, why not just give them the jalapeno?
There it is. There it is. I mean, why dust it when you can use the real thing? Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, I mean, was that how long after that little creation thing did Dino's jalapenos actually kind of get legs?
Well, it took about probably 8 months, 10 months or so to really come up with a consistent product that that we could really stand behind. And you know, during this whole process, you know, having the customer base we have, we could always just throw them out there on the bar and see what happens. So,
oh yeah, I was just thinking that perfect test market. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, it was great. I mean, there's no downside.
Right.
So what we did was, we just kept throwing it out, and then it was, 8-10 months, and then, about 2009, we started getting a little more serious, and so that's when I said to my wife Monique, I said, hey, you know what? There's a show out in New Mexico. Maybe we ought to go check it out, because I have a feeling we're probably going to be there at some point, and. So we bought a couple of plane tickets and flew out there to the National Fiery Food and Barbecue Show.
And you're probably
which is where I met you for the first time, I believe.
Yeah. Actually, 2009. Yeah. Actually, that was one of our last years there.
Right.
I'm glad we met because hey. But going out there is a very smart way of doing it. Instead of buying the whole booth and getting all the freight charges, all kind of stuff, check it out first. I mean, I did that. We jumped into the fire in the Albuquerque thing when we were doing the show, and Zest Fest was a different animal. I had flown out there for I think it was 2 years straight just to make sure it was what I thought it was, and then it wasn't by the third year that we actually dove in, you know, head first and set the booth up and stuff like that. But it's a very smart way of doing it. Check it out first before you spend all the money. But
what I want to do is
I definitely want to get into your products though. The chips. Now, the idea is quite interesting. It's basically, it is a habanero chip.
Well, jalapeno chip.
Oh, that's what I meant. Oh, yeah, but that'll be a little hot. Yeah. You know, it's actually, it's the actual pepper. It's not like a ground up thing. It's an actual piece of pepper.
No, we start with a fresh pepper. We've got a farm, actually, the closest farm we could find to us that could handle our volume is in North Carolina. So, we'll buy in Vermont, we'll buy New Jersey, we'll buy, you know, wherever the crops come when they come, if we can. But nobody can handle the year-round volume that we go through any closer than North Carolina.
Okay.
And even sometimes they have to go a little further south. So what we take the fresh jalapeno, slice it, kettle fry it, and dust it. You know, so there's no potatoes, no, it is the base. The jalapeno itself is the palate upon which we put our spices and seasonings on. And you mentioned earlier about the habanero. We do fried habaneros as well in our bits. And that's just as a, basically something to notch it up a little bit.
Sure. Because you have the chips and the bits. I mean, the chips. You have a bunch of different flavors as well. It's not just one flavor. What are the flavors you got going on?
Yeah, we in the chips we have the sea salt. We have the original cheddar. We have a white cheddar, and we also have a ranch flavor as well. We're working
Very
on a couple
cool.
others. They just haven't quite got out there yet.
Okay. I can imagine restaurants are kind of keeping an eye on you because I imagine that'd be a great snack food just to throw out to people.
Yeah, we're looking at packaging for food service here shortly down the road.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, I've got questions about that as well. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Now
so
you have also besides the chips, you have the bits too, which is kind of cool. It kind of stays on the same line, but it's I think it's a lot more versatile to have the bits. You can kind of shake it on anything. I mean, what would you call it? What do you think is like some of the stuff it's best on?
The bits, man, let's go on. Those are pretty much targeted for ease of use on, chili, soups, salads, burgers. A lot of people, including myself, we just did the green bean casserole at Thanksgiving with them.
Oh, there you go.
I think, you put them on a baked potato. Those are really awesome there. And, macaroni and cheese is awesome. Put it in it and on it. Because when you cook with these, you get the product right, like say in a macaroni and cheese or in a casserole of some sort, you know, the chili flavor really comes out, as opposed to, I mean, it almost gives it a totally different flavor. And, you know, not the extreme heat, but you really get a cool flavor out of them. You know, it's real nice. Really nice.
You said soups. Soups didn't even dawn on me, but that'd be a really cool thing to do. Like, it's just a nice hearty soup. Throw a handful of bits in there. That actually sounds really good.
Oh yeah.
Now the restaurant you guys own is the Cactus Cafe. I mean, are you and Monique are the owners of it, or do you work
there?
We are.
I don't.
You are. Okay. Now, when did
She's more of an owner right now than I am, because she's there all the time, more so than I am. But yeah.
Oh, so you got her working. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, it's been 20 years, so she's got a pretty good idea what goes on there.
That's cool. Now, I mean, did you guys, was this an existing restaurant, or you guys just figured, hey, let's open one up?
Well, it was, I've been, you know, cooking all my life, and I've always worked at the best restaurant in town ever since, you know, even when I was in high school, I was working at the best restaurant in town. So I've got a bit of a French background, but what happened was we were on Cape Cod for 4 or 5 years, and we moved up here, and we kind of tossed a coin, and Stowe was one side and Burlington was the other. But, you know, I hadn't skied in quite a while, so it was more, you know, just to get back under the slopes for a bit. And
sure.
So what happened was we ended up I got approached by a guy who had this restaurant in Stowe, and then he was going to open another one in Burlington. And so he was living in Burlington, driving to Stowe. I was living in Stowe, driving to Burlington. So I opened one up there with him. So basically we split. He took the one in Burlington. I got the one in Stowe, and here we are. And this all started
out on,
you know, we're just going up to ski for the winter. But it's 24 or 5 years later.
Gotta love it. Yeah, because I checked out the site for the Cactus Cafe. It looks like a really fun joint. I mean, you guys seem like you have a lot of fun there too.
Yeah, we do. We sponsor a bunch of sports teams. We've got a good volleyball league going in the summer. We just have a bunch of great people there. You know,
everybody
likes to have a good time.
Oh, hey, that's what it's all about. That's at least the way I look at it. I was checking the menu out, too. You got some really cool stuff on there as well. I mean, what are some of your more popular items at the restaurant?
We do a ton of these California enchiladas, which is it's a sliced chicken breast with guacamole, red sauce, jack cheese, pinto beans, Spanish rice. We have a big ass smoker, which is real nice, and that we smoke all kinds of stuff on that. You know, we used to do trout. We don't do trout yet. We might put that back on the menu, but we do our own ribs, we do our brisket, we do our pork butts. We do all kinds of stuff on that, and that's a lot of fun. Then, so pretty much anything that we smoke is a real big seller there.
Sure.
Fajitas, you know, are always real big, but chicken mole, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you make your own moles as well, right?
We do, yeah.
Man, that's a pain in the ass.
it can be.
Okay.
But, yeah, we do a lot of seafood, too.
I saw on the site that the smoked trout, that my mouth just started drooling. That just sounds like you don't see that on menus anywhere.
No, it's nice. We get the fresh trout, and we applewood smoke those. We brine them real quick with a little maple syrup, a little brown sugar, salt, and they're real nice. They super are.
That's cool.
They're awesome.
Okay, now one thing that really struck me fried turkey injected with hot sauce.
Yeah, that was
you grabbed my attention like a mother.
that's a good one. We've been doing that for a bunch of years now. We've got the ski patrol here for Stowe Mountain Resort, and they come in here and there, and they taught me how to deep fry a turkey. I went to one of their parties after the winter was over. It was it was one of their summer parties where they all get together, kind of say, hey, this is what we're doing. We'll see you in a couple months when the mountain opens. And they taught me how to do this. The one guy who learned it from a guy down in Louisiana. And so he brought it back here and he showed me how to do this. And so we make up some pretty, gnarly hot sauces. We do all our own hot sauces at the restaurant.
Sure.
And so we get this huge hypodermic needle and inject the turkey in every single crevice we can, every piece of meat there is, massage it in, and then deep fry it, and it comes out nice and crisp. It's awesome. It really
cool.
is.
Now, because every Thanksgiving I do, unless
your
we go to my,
be
go to my sister's
that,
house.
Yeah.
We've done it. Oh, we've done it. And usually every Thanksgiving I fry the turkey.
Actually, I still have half a bottle of your sauce. I got to put some of that in one. Do it up.
There you go. Take. Oh, we do. It does taste good. It's all about you on the show, not to me, not me tonight. Now, what I thought was very cool is also, Monique is really into the whole gardening thing. You actually have a Mexican garden on premises at the restaurant, which I found very, very commendable.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a totally Mexican garden, but we do a lot of our Mexican herbs there. We do tomatillos. We do all kinds of peppers. We do, a lot of it is all, I guess you'd say, Mexican spices and peppers and, stuff like that.
Sure.
So, it's nice that, we can walk out the back door of the restaurant and access anything we need. I mean, we have fresh cilantro. You want a fresh habanero, go out, pop one, boom. Anything.
That's cool.
Mexican oregano, we can get pretty much anything we need right off the bat.
That's cool. Is Monica the one with the green thumbers at you?
She's most of it, yeah.
Okay.
I'll sometimes go out there and grab something, and then I see something that needs a little attention, but for the most part, it's her.
Okay,
she does,
because I got a black thumb. That's why I use dried peppers. Now you said you had a French background on the culinary aspect of it. I mean, did you went to school for this or?
No, I didn't go to school for it. I just trained under people who were real good. There's I don't know if anybody out there remembers a guy named Paul Bucot. He's a French chef from France and. I worked under his sous chef for a while. I worked under a couple people here and there that, were just studying French food and all this and that. And, I came out with a good bit of knowledge on that. And so at the restaurant, we do tend to fuse a little of the two together sometimes.
Sure,
which,
sure.
You know, makes a pretty interesting product.
Yeah, French and Mexican. Oh, French again, yeah.
Yeah. Frenchkin, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the chips, did you ever use a co-packer? You said you started doing all your own stuff.
No.
We started
with at the restaurant. I started there. We had one 35-pound fryer, which is a normal size fryer you'll see at any restaurant that you walk into, and that's got an open kitchen or anything.
Right.
So, a 35-pound fryer means it holds 35 pounds of oil.
Right.
So you have two baskets, and it's not a very efficient way to do it. So now we're still being kind of non-efficient, but we've got more fryers.
Okay.
So, but we actually have found somebody to manufacture our product for us, and he's just down the road from me. And I've called all
perfect.
Over the country.
Wow.
Trying to find somebody to do this for me, and either I'm too small or not right, or they don't want the oil contamination. We don't do corn, we don't do this, we don't. But there's always something going on, or
right.
They only do wheat, and I'm gluten free, not certified
right.
yet, but look, shooting for it.
Yep.
So there's always been a problem, and then lo and behold, there's a guy a couple hours from me who does it, and he said, "Yeah, let's work it out."
Nice.
So we're going to move into that, and with his capacity, he'll be able to do in one day what takes us a week and a half at this point.
Nice.
So
well, that brings
me
into the next one because we had spoken real quick on the phone about the fact that you're going to be kind of throttling back on the vendor shows and going kind of aiming at the trade only shows, which is a major step for a lot of companies. And I don't think a lot of people out there they may or may not know. I mean, there is a major difference. I mean, you got the Dan mentioned the Albuquerque show and I mentioned Zest Fest. Those are vendor shows. I mean, those are kind of the open to the public, kind of happy go lucky things, and everybody has a good time and they're half serious and half not. The trade trade only shows, you kind of put your nose to the grindstone, and you are there for one specific reason, and that is to meet buyers. I mean, that's basically why you're there, and there's really no other reason. Am I kind of on target with that?
Oh, you're totally on target. Yeah, it's this is you're here to sell. You're not making friends. Well, you are making friends and
of course,
having fun, but by the same token, I mean it's a sell only, and I guess instead of selling bags of chips, we're selling pallets of chips.
Right. Right.
And that's the direction we're headed at this point. And we're at that stage, where we're kind of in between, the growing
sure.
pain stage where,
That's a big step, man. It really is. I mean, there's a lot of output of just almost like venture cash. It's like, is this going to work? Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
Open up the wallet and dump it, you know?
And, a lot of the vendor shows, at least, you have an opportunity to recoup, some of your expenditures, assuming it's a good show, whereas this you're hoping to sell, and if you don't sell anything, nothing gained at all. So,
right. Would that be in LA? Would you call like a trade only? Would be like a fancy food show, like in Manhattan or something like that. That'd
fancy
be a trade
food
only?
Show, yeah. The Sweet and Salty show in Chicago.
Okay.
The All Natural Expo East West.
Right.
Things of that sort. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
we're one of these days we're going to be able to do one. I mean, we're just not there right yet. I mean, so we're not the little itty bitty fish anymore. But it's like it's that scary part. You said growing pains, and it's kind of scary.
It's difficult. As any small business has to watch its pennies here and there, but even more so with this, because like I said, at a vendor show, you can sell your wares, you can, to a certain extent to cover
right.
some of your travel, some of your expenses, but, something like this, and these shows are quite a bit more expensive as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Most definitely. And yes, I mean, I know that I've known a couple of vendors that did the fancy food in Manhattan. I was kind of floored at how much. I mean, because it's not just the cost of the booth. There's a whole bunch more stuff involved with it than just the cost of the booth, and drayage, and you can't plug the plug in. You got to get a union guy to do it. Here's $50,
exactly.
Tony. You know that.
I've always had a hard time with something like that, but I guess that's the way it is in certain places. So you got to do what you got to
exactly.
do.
Yep. Now you also said you're kind of setting a course for like the non-GMO ingredients as well. It just seems
yeah.
to kind of be like the trend as of late.
Yeah. Once again, Vermont is trying to, be the leader in this crusade. The non-GMO thing is going to happen. When you look around the world, there's relatively no countries other than the U.S. I mean, there's a couple that will let GMO products in, but
right.
I mean, Europe they don't accept GMO.
Right.
I mean, nobody does. So it's going to happen. And Monsanto's got their non-GMO stuff out there. I believe they're starting to sell some of it. But we're in a bunch of Whole Foods, so they're requested by 2018 that. You have to have certain labeling, which is not really quite, they don't know exactly how it's going to be labeled, but you're going to have something on your product that indicates whether it is GMO-free or not.
Okay.
So
okay.
I see it happening. I mean, it's going to be happening everywhere. It's just a matter of time.
Sure,
Vermont is trying to push through something now where anything that you make and sell in Vermont has to be labeled GMO or non-GMO, and that's
wow.
I think the date on that is 2016, I believe.
Oh, right around the corner.
Then again,
much.
I
wow.
hear then again I hear that the state of Vermont's being sued by Monsanto as well. So
oh, imagine that! Oh, go
yeah,
oh, God
crazy!
Forbid,
yeah. and,
a company suing
I mean, whose revenues are bigger? The state of Vermont or Monsanto? I'm wondering.
Monsanto.
yeah, exactly. So I think
oh,
they're going
to
have the bigger lawyers, but. Who knows?
Oh man,
we'll
that's the scary stuff. But to a little bit of a different track here. You're kind of a culinary jack of all trades with the Frenchican cuisine stuff. Now you also know something about making chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been playing with Chocolates for a while. Actually, at the show we were in New York, and the New York City Expo, Hot Sauce Expo, with Steve Seabury's show. Yep. We brought a bunch of Chocolates down to that one, and that was they went big time. And you know,
well,
yeah,
if I know that, I would stop by.
Yeah, we took the bits, and I bought some really nice chocolate, nice milk chocolate. We only had one type of chocolate at that one, and
right.
I went through a series of taking the bits and grinding them down to different granular particulate and getting, you know, so you have different textures and
sure.
Different flavors. And I came up with a really nice mixture. And these chocolate bars were just blow away. They really were. It was like,
that's
you know,
cool.
The was it the Nestle Crunch? Is that the one with the Rice Krispies?
Yeah.
Or?
Yep. That's
yeah.
The one.
I mean, it was just like that, except it was spicy.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was real nice. And you know, we're looking at a couple other little avenues there. Maybe a chip with a drizzle on it, perhaps.
Sure.
Who knows?
Sure.
You know, chocolate's always been a lot of fun. It's
very cool. Yeah, because I can see chocolate products definitely. And if I didn't know you had them at the hot sauce show, I would have stopped.
Yeah,
I've had them
at a couple shows. It depends if I have enough time to make them or not. So,
right.
But
well, you're not,
you know,
busy at all. Come on.
Well, you know, on my time off, you know, I pour this stuff out left and right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, now aside from all the food stuff, which would be a full plate for most people, you're also an avid duck hunter, a downhill skier, a backcountry skier, a saltwater fly fisher guy. How do you do it, man?
Whenever there's just another little block of time. That's about it.
Okay.
A lot of the if you look at these sports aside from the fly fishing, saltwater fly fishing, anyways, they're all sports that can be done on my schedule.
True.
Downhill skiing, not so much, but you know, if I have time and the lift is open, that's good. But backcountry, I can go anytime I want. You know,
yeah.
It'd be kind
right
of
in
like
the middle
playing
of it
golf.
Too, yeah.
You know, when it works for you. You know, so. A lot of, you know, I mean, all summer I'll drive around with a mountain bike in the back of my truck so that when I have time to use it, it's there. when the snow hits the ground, I got a couple pairs of skis in the back of the truck all winter
nice.
Long. That's where
boring.
They live.
That's
yeah,
cool.
It's just a matter
yeah,
of remembering.
I just don't think many people realize the time and effort. I mean, the small manufacturers have to put in just to kind of stay up to date on current stuff. I mean, Christ, you're throwing a restaurant on top of it, dude. You're like a machine.
Yeah, well, it's I don't know. I don't know any other really way of operating. I mean, I've been, you know, owning a restaurant itself is, you know, a full-time job.
Sure.
But you know, it's I've always been pretty much, you know, go at it, have at it. You know, if I'm sitting still, sometimes I'm wondering, whoa, what am I? Something's wrong here. Something's not.
I know.
Something's
I know
not right.
Yeah, I know the feeling well. Yep.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize, you know, like me and Maggie with the DEF CON thing, they don't realize both of us. I mean, she works nights, I work days. We're like two shifts mm-hmm. passing in the night kind of thing. But it's like whenever I got an extra minute, I'll do something I want to do. If it's a half an hour, it's a half an hour. If I can go play Shadows of Mordor on the computer for an hour, I'm going to do it because it's my time. Other than that, I'm usually running around like yourself. I mean, there's always something to do. You know, always something to do.
Yeah, you got to take a little bit of time for yourself for sure.
You do.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, would you ever consider opening up another restaurant?
You know, I was thinking about that today, probably about 45 minutes ago.
Really?
Well, maybe an hour and 45 minutes ago. I was thinking of something kind of a Mexican, like maybe like a not really just like a taqueria, but maybe something with a big grill in the middle and a bar that goes around the grill.
We have a couple of them here. Yeah, they're very cool. I like that whole idea.
Where the cooks are the bartenders, and you're
pretty
only
much,
serving
yeah.
tequila and beer, and that's it.
That's even,
you know,
better. Yeah, okay, I'm following.
Yeah, keep it simple, you know. And it's I was thinking about that, but Monique would kill that. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
But, well, you never know. Maybe down the road, you never know.
There you go. Hey, now you're thinking. Too funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Gotta put in the thought. Well,
Now, just out of curiosity, like if we talked about the chips and stuff. Now, well, where else besides the restaurant and the website? I mean, where can people like easily find your stuff? Is there any like big places they can find it?
Yeah, well, we're in four regions of Whole Foods, so we're in North Atlantic, which covers Maine to down to part of Connecticut. Then we're also down in the South region, which is North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia.
Right.
A couple other states down there. We're in Northern California. We just opened up the Northeast, which is, that actually, as of the first of the year, we'll be in the Northeast region, which is New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut, the other half of Connecticut.
Oh, very cool.
We're, as of the sometime in March, we've got 300 stores on tap for World Market. If you're in Texas, we're in the Specs chain. And we're in a pretty cool beef jerky chain, which is a beef jerky outlet. And those guys are opening up. I would suggest if you have a Bass Pro Shop, they usually open up within a block or so of the Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, neat.
So
okay.
We're in a bunch of those as well. And of course, we wholesale all over the country, too, a bunch of different
Very
places.
Cool.
Don't mean to leave anybody out, but those are our big ones. So.
All right, cool. Now, just out of curiosity, with all that you've done so far, I mean, you got obviously a thriving restaurant. You got the Dino's Jalapenos thing is basically taken off for you. You've done everything pretty much right. I mean, do you have
I don't know about that.
I think you have. In the grand scheme, I think you've done very well, and your success is commendable. Now, I mean, do you have any specific advice for somebody who wants to get into, like, just opening a restaurant, even just starting up a company in general, just a few wise words kind of thing? I mean, everybody's got something in their head that made them do it.
Well, I guess I would say know what you're doing to a certain extent. I was blessed with this jalapeno chip idea. I didn't have any competition. I still don't have any competition. So
right.
when I was looking around doing it, it was kind of shot in the dark, no real idea. But as you said, go to a show, talk to people before you go to a show with product. Talking to people like you and a bunch of other hot sauce makers, I wasn't a threat to anybody. So people
right.
didn't mind sharing information with me. So it made it a little bit easier for me. But definitely, I mean, yeah, you gotta live it. You gotta breathe it. You gotta want to do
yep.
it. There's days of depression. There's days.
Oh, dude,
where
I was
you
gonna
just,
say if you can't handle rejection, don't even think about trying.
Yeah. If you can't handle the word no, then forget it.
And just say no to the idea, yeah.
As,
too funny. But, Dean, I hear music.
Right on.
See, that time's up already. Doesn't that suck?
Oh, is it really?
Yeah,
like
imagine that. Yeah, it goes quick. Now, look at that. And I had one thing here. See that? I didn't even bring up the pool night at New Orleans a few years ago. Amazing how alcohol, underwear, and pools fit together. But that's another story.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll have to do this again, and we'll get a little more in-depth on that one.
Absolutely. It'll be a fun one. We'll have some call-ins for that one. But, we'll definitely get you back on next year when things are going a little bit better for you. You can tell us how you're taking over the world piece by piece.
Right on. Sounds good.
Right,
thank you, John.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it. Hey, I do,
all right,
too.
Hey.
All right, we'll
have
see you
night,
soon.
Have a good night, man.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Well, there's the music, people. Got to wrap it up. Definitely like to thank Dean Duckworth from Dino's Jalapenos for joining us tonight. Check out their line of products at www.dinosjalapenos.com and the restaurant, thecactuscafe.com. As you can see, these two are powerhouses, him and his wife Monique, with a serious desire to move forward. We here at DEF CON Sauces wish them the best of luck, as it's nice to see someone this amount of passion for what they do. Remember, this Saturday, December 6th, DEF CON Day, Bunny's Sports Bar, 14 West South Orange Avenue, South Orange, New Jersey, noon to 5, free DEF CON wings all afternoon. Also, if you want to have a chance of scoring one of our newest collectibles, Zero Batch Number 6, get on the mailing list, john@defconsauces.com. So, until next time, this is John Dilley, president of DEF CON Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero horseradishes, and dry rubs. bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at www.defconsauces.com. So until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individual out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody.
They bumped me into prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allan Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, three knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year.